Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Inox Green Energy Services Limited Q4 FY23 investor earnings conference call hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Shah from Systematix Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us today on the fourth quarter and fiscal 2023 earnings call for Inox Green. On behalf of Systematix, I'd like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this earnings call. Today, we have with us Mr. Devansh Jain, Executive Director, Inox GFL Group, Mr. Kailas Lal Tarachandani, Chief Executive Officer, Inox Wind Group, Mr. S.K. Mathusudhan, Chief Executive Officer, Inox Green Energy Services Limited, Mr. Manish Garg as Senior General Manager, Inox GFL Group. I will now hand over the call to the management to give their opening remarks, and after that, we will open it up for Q&A. Thanks, and with that, over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to all of you on Inox Green's Q4 FY23 earnings call. The company announced its Q4 results at its board meeting held today. The results, along with the earnings presentations, are available on the stock exchanges and also on our website. I will briefly talk about the numbers and give you an update on the business operations and outlook. The total revenue of 59 crore in Q4 FY23 against revenue of rupees 45 crore in Q4 FY22. EBITDA profit of 23 crore in Q4 FY23 against EBITDA profit of rupees 25.23 crore in Q4 FY22. The total revenue of rupees 254 crore in FY23 against revenue of rupees 172 crore in FY22. The EBITDA profit of rupees 102 crore in FY23 against EBITDA profit of 100 crore in FY22. Let me take you through some of the key operational highlights for the period. Our efforts towards improving our operational and technical performance has started showing results in the form of increased machine availability and operational performance. This has also resulted in very positive customer feedback and further strengthening our relationship with them. We also undertook several initiatives towards overheads and other cost reduction initiatives and increasing productivity through the digital transformation process with the implementation of SAP and other digital analytical tools, adopting best practices in supply chain and maintenance. These efforts have resulted in substantial cost savings and bringing in the desired efficiency. We continue to move on our journey to be the leaders in asset management and operational excellence in O&M of RE assets and deliver and create sustainable value for all our stakeholders. As part of our inorganic growth strategy, we have acquired a controlling stake of 51% in iFOX Wind Technik, a reputed wind OEM ISP with 7+ multi-OEM operational fleet of 250+ MW. This not only aids our growth but also helps in strengthening our service offerings. We are also in discussions with various other reputed independent OEM service providers and also wind OEMs to accelerate our inorganic growth. Nani-Virani, a 50 MW SPV, has been recently commissioned and now operating. As stated earlier, our intentions of selling this SPV once commissioned, like the ones we sold earlier to Torrent and Adani. The discussions with the potential buyers is in advanced stages for Nani-Virani and is expected to be concluded soon. Post which, Inox Green will be net debt-free. Our ESG commitment is very strong, and we are making significant contributions towards ESG goals. We also act as a catalyst to the Honorable Prime Minister's target on carbon neutrality. We are also happy to announce to you that we are ESG compliant, audited by Big Four, and also the rating is awaited. Inox Green is in the asset-light, long-term annuity cash generation business with a long-term service contract. This business is generally very sticky. I would like to touch upon some of the future growth drivers. Favorable government policy and large capacity addition plans should aid massive growth in the wind sector, which is currently at 42 GW installed capacity. The Government of India has plans to add at least 10 GW of wind annually over the next four to five years. Demand rising, arising from green hydrogen ecosystem, the green financing, RPO targets, wind repowering potential, RTC projects, green energy open access, et cetera, will definitely foster wind installations in India. The current fragmented O&M service industry provides a huge opportunity for consolidation and growth for established players like us. Inox Green is part of $5 billion group of Inox GFL Group, with 90+ years of footprint in fueling India's growth. Having a parentage of Inox Wind provides us with a strong growth visibility. As we have embarked on this massive growth journey, we look forward to a sustained value creation for all our stakeholders. Now, let me hand over the floor to Mr. Devansh Jain for his comments, post which we will open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you, Mathu. I would like to thank all of you for having shown faith and confidence in us. It was a one-of-a-kind IPO, and we are thankful to everybody who supported us to ensure this happens. Inox Green has the full backing of the promoters, and I believe we are on the right track and will achieve massive growth, as all the catalysts for the sector are in place. The wind sector has full support from the government as well. At Inox Green, as well as Inox Wind, all the hard work and the grind we put in for the past several years to stay afloat when majority of the players in India went bankrupt are now paying us rich dividends. The IPO of Inox Green was well-timed and will aid significant growth. Whatever targets we had set out during the IPO, we are truly on course, not just to achieve them, but surpass them. I firmly believe that we will add significant value for all our stakeholders. With our ESG compliant status, I think we've become a unique player on the ESG side of things as well. With this, I would now open up the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Hrishikesh Oza from RoboCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding, you know, the acquisitions that we are planning to do. So just broadly wanted to know, you know, how many acquisitions we plan to do, and how much additional revenue and EBITDA that will generate for us, and what will be the dilution?
So, Hrishikesh, I don't think there's a specific target in terms of we will acquire 1 GW or we will acquire 2 GW. If you look at our presentation and the larger objective we set out, there's almost 10 GW of inactive players in the market. As we speak, Mathu and the team are in active discussions with at least six to seven potential targets. I don't know how many of them will fructify, but they keep adding to the targets, because the larger goal is to consolidate the sector. In terms of how much will it add to our top line and to EBITDA, look, I think it's very hard to put a number to it, but what we can very conservatively say, I think at the Inox Green level, organically, we're adding almost 500 MW a year from Inox Wind now, given that Inox Wind is in place, and Inox Wind has publicly stated they're aiming for at least 500 MW ramping up in the next financial year. I think we've already acquired about 230 MW, which has already been scaled up and which will significantly scale up over the course of this year. But there is absolutely no limit to what we will look to acquire. What we are also doing importantly is we are using a mix of cash and equity in all our acquisitions. As you may have noticed in the first acquisition, about half the price was paid by cash and the other half was by way of long-term equity, because we firmly want, where we're taking controlling stake, we want the management team at the regional level to continue for multiple years. We are attractively pricing our acquisitions as opposed to giving free period O&M to certain people and taking significant contracts in-house. Having said that, the dilutions, as we move forward, we don't expect anything significant to happen. I mean, if you look at things right now, it's a 8 crore dilution which will take place on a 1500 odd crore market cap, that too over 3 years. So that technically translates to not even 0.4% in, I mean, obviously as the performance of Inox Green plays out, as our EBITDA increases, which is equal to cash profit, I think the valuations should increase manifold. And we would be using a very insignificant amount of capital by way of dilution. Of course, we also have access to all the cash profits at Inox Green over the course of this financial year, given that there are no other legacy issues, no RESCO relations, no Inox relations. And as I mentioned, we operate at 50% plus margins. So EBITDA is equal to cash profit for us. Of course, at some point in time, I assume the board will take a call on dividend yields, but we have significant free cash flow available at this entity, which can be channeled into acquisition as we move forward.
Okay, thank you, sir. So my second question is regarding the transmission lines and the common infrastructure that we see which are not going to be used going ahead as we are transitioning to an asset-like company. So, you know, how, just wanted to know broadly, you know, how that is going to be monetized going ahead.
Yeah, hi Rishikesh. So broadly, as we have publicly stated that we have around...
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but the volume is very low for you. You're not audible, sir.
Yeah, hi Rishikesh. Manish Garg this side. As we have publicly stated in the past that we have developed a common infrastructure for 4,000 megawatts. And out of 4,000 megawatts, 3,000 megawatts has been monetized and has been utilized for our customers. 1,000 megawatts of the unutilized common infrastructure will be sold over a period of time, and the money received will be come in the Inox Green entity, which should be somewhere in the range of 20 to 25 lakh rupees per megawatt, which is the additional inflow, cash inflow, which will come into the entity.
Now again, Rishikesh, there is no specific timeline, but as is expected many times, we build larger common infrastructures and then we play them out as policies open up in different states. Obviously, going forward, there is no further capex at the Inox Green level. If any at all infrastructure is to be built, it is being built under a separate entity called RESCO, which is owned by Inox Wind. It has nothing to do with Inox Green. So as we move forward, depending on whenever the policy in, for example, Rajasthan opens up or Madhya Pradesh opens up, we already have ready access to common infrastructure built. We would be monetizing our common infra in that respective state to the extent that we sell, and that will add to our cash flows at Inox Green, number one. Number two, that will also ensure access to at least 1,000 megawatts of further turnkey contracts for Inox Green.
Okay, and sir, just a follow-up on that. When we say, you know, we'll be monetizing the remaining 1,000 megawatts of the infrastructure. So broadly, when, you know, we monetize it, what fixed asset base will we have on our balance sheet, which is currently approximately 900 crore?
So the fixed asset base does not increase because this is already capitalized. I mean, we've already built this. We need to monetize a chunk of this and recover our money. There will be no further capex at the Inox Green level, which we said in the IPO, which we said in the previous quarter, and which we reiterate. We are not incurring any capex. The capex has already been incurred. We're simply monetizing it.
Okay. Okay, no problem. I'll get back in the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, we are audible, so you may proceed.
So just one question on, I mean, if I look at the second half numbers, a lot of income which has been generated by other income, approximately 35 crores. So what exactly is the nature of this other income?
So, hi Nirav, Manish Garg this side. As we have discussed in the past also, you know, this study income, which is as per the accounting standards, need to be classified under the head other income. But that is related to the operation and maintenance revenue only. Like there is some restoration restoration income and so on and so forth, which is classified under other income, which is not regular in nature, but that is broadly towards the O&M service revenue.
Got it. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Giriraj Daga from Visaria Family Trust. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, team. So my first question is, when I look at quarter-on-quarter, like December quarter, I believe we reported an O&M revenue of some 54 crore, 53 point some crore. While this quarter is below 50 crore. So have you seen quarter-on-quarter decline?
So, you know, in last quarter, we have 45 crore. That means the revenue of 49 crore.
So it's actually otherwise very low.
What was the revenue in the last quarter?
It was 57. But there is a restoration. The O&M revenue.
Yeah. Hi. So, you know, as we in quarter three, we have done a revenue, O&M revenue of 45 crore against the 49 crore rupees of revenue in this particular financial, particular quarter. It might be that you have seen in totality, which might include certain other trading income in the last quarter. But apple to apple, as against the last quarter of 45 crore rupees of O&M revenue, we have done 49 crore rupees of O&M revenue in this quarter.
So Giriraj, I think one of the questions which came up when we presented last time was, can you please split up our actual O&M revenues, our EBITDA from actual operations, and separate out the one-time traded goods or income from...
So, I'll just give on like page number 34, we have given a separate data on O&M, trading income, power generation.
Exactly.
So I'm looking at a separate revenue only. Although I believe there is some grammatical, I don't know, some typo error in the page number 34, if you look at O&M revenue, for last quarter we had to put 53.8 crore.
Yeah, there is no page 34. I don't know where you are. There is no presentation.
On the BSE exchange web... document. We have your segment information.
Giriraj, open our investor presentation. On our investor presentation, there's a table which says financial highlights that is split into three parts. Revenue from O&M, revenue from traded goods, which were the one-time limits, which were under INOM 3, which had to shift to RESCO, which is only done on a cost basis. Otherwise, revenue from operations, if you look at 31st March, revenue from O&M was 36. In this quarter, it's close to 50. If you look at 31st December 22, revenue from O&M was 45, and in this quarter it's about 50. So I'm not sure where you're coming in from.
Okay. Because our addition is somewhere like when the total is coming at 199 crore. So the previous three quarters were obviously 50 crore each. That's why you will get 199 crore in this for the full year.
Aap wo dekh lijiye na, it says revenue from O&M and revenue from traded goods.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay, I'll take that.
And if you look at it, it says very clearly, because we were in our previous calls, obviously, because these limits which had to shift from INOX green.
No, trading I'm not including. Trading I'm not including. So I'm keeping trading as a separate. Okay, next is when you look at the cost also, there is a very sizable increase in the other expense. If you can clarify what is this?
So, in terms of the other expenditure, there is some reclassification which has been happened in, you know, other income and other expenditure. So, if you see in the current quarter, there is a 14 crore rupees of other income, and then the other expenditure has also increased by 14 crore. So, that is due to some accounting reconciliation. So, as such, there is no increase in the other expenditure and other income in this particular quarter.
No, but, sorry, but like last quarter we have 20 crore of other income, right, as per reported numbers?
Yeah, as I explained to you, 20 crore rupees of the other income is towards the O&M revenue, which needs to be classified as per the Ind AS and other income. But in this particular financial quarter, 14 crore rupees of the other expenditure which you are talking about is just a reclassification between the other income and other expenditure. But if you see our investor presentation, in that it is clearly stated that, you know, what kind of O&M revenue and traded revenue and EBITDA from the O&M business, which will give you the particularly clearer picture. Further, as we have mentioned in our earlier calls and as we are emphasized that this traded goods and power generation revenue will also go away in near future, and you know it virtually stopped. So from, you know, going forward, you will see only O&M revenue and plain O&M profitability in our P&L.
I mean, in any case, the traded goods are at cost, so there is no profit on traded goods.
No, but this, I think 14 crore of other income and other expenditure will continue in the coming years also.
One-time reclassification, due to some reclassification that has been done, but that is only a one-time reclassification which needs to be done in this quarter due to the Ind AS requirement.
Okay, so roughly, let's put it this way, the 50 crore of O&M income and 23 crore of EBITDA is the sustainable run rate and we will build from there on, right?
So, Giriraj, I think obviously, if you look at now the plain vanilla O&M revenue, you see, if you look at the full financial year, let me answer a question in this way. Our typical total revenue from O&M was 198 crores and our EBITDA was 102 crores.
Yeah.
Right, so that's the annual run rate we are on already. Obviously, to the extent that IFOX got added, more turbines are being commissioned, more capacity will be added over the course of this year, this run rate will increase and this EBITDA will increase in that ratio.
Okay, so what is the gross cash level?
Gross cash, what do you mean by that?
What is it? So we have net, like total cash and cash equivalent.
So
obviously some might, actually the asking of point is that some might be sitting in the other current assets also, apart from the cash and bank shown in the balance sheet.
So Giriraj, if you see our net debt as of 31st March 2023, we have a net debt of around 340 odd crore rupees. As we have already mentioned and, you know, as Mr. Devansh has briefed that 300 crore rupees will be realized from the sale of 50 megawatt Nani Nani project, which will be utilized for reduction of the debt. And our debt 40 crore rupees is, you know, kind of a debt which is stuck in our working capital, which will be utilized, which will be released in quarter one and quarter two. So our endeavor would be after the selling of the Nani Virani project, we will be a debt-free company.
Okay. Few more questions on the balance sheet. So when I look at a trade receivable,
if I request, if you have multiple questions specifically on this, so that other people can also.
I'll get back
or you can have a separate call with our finance team and we are more than happy to answer all your questions.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press *1. The next question is from the line of Ravi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. In the presentation, I have seen that we are planning to add about 1,000 megawatt every year, right, for the next consecutive to 3 financial years. So, as per your previous con call, you said that we will be installing about roughly 500 megawatt. That is our individual commission, company commissioning, and maybe 500 megawatt, maybe some kind of acquisition. Is my understanding right, sir?
It's correct. I think broadly speaking, INOX would have conservatively stated that they would be doing 500 odd over the course of this financial year. That's their aim, that's their stated aim, which they would ramp up as the sector gets to a high growth phase. And we add INOX Green, given that there's almost a 10 gigawatt acquisition opportunity out there, which is with the unorganized players. Given we've already acquired 230 megawatts and our team is in discussion for multiple acquisitions, I think over the next 3 years, adding 1,500 megawatts inorganically is a fairly straightforward task.
Okay. Just one more follow-up, sir. Since our commissioning would not be equally distributed, right? And again, we'll have less commissioning in the rainy season. So is my understanding right that it will be more lumped towards the end of the financial year? Is my understanding right?
Look, obviously, in Q2 of any financial year, commissioning goes down because it's peak monsoon. But other than that, it's very hard. It depends on which state or which site we're implementing. Is the common infra ready there, or are we building new common infrastructure? Assuming it's ready, then it's a fairly uniform commissioning cycle. But If you're building common infra, then obviously it's towards the back end of the year. So hard to say, very hard to say. But you know, it's not going to be zero. I mean, assume it's 100 megawatts, it's not going to be zero for 3 quarters and suddenly become 100. I think it should be fairly uniform, fairly uniform.
Okay, thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Giriraj Daga from Visaria Family Trust. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just 2 questions from my side. One of the inventory and debtors. So when we look at 30 crore of inventory and 92 crore of debtors, like first of all, inventory pertains to what? And second, debtors, when I look at compared to a revenue of quarterly, like 56, 60 crore number, looks high. So what are the debtors days here?
So yeah, hi Giriraj. So in terms of inventory, as there are around 30 crore rupees in inventory, which is our normalized inventory, which needs to be kept for maintenance of, you know, over O&M business of 3 gigawatts. Further, in terms of the debtor of around 90 crore rupees, around 40 crore rupees is an intercompany debtor which need to be received from the our group company Resco Infrastructure, which we will receive in this particular quarter. And our normalized debtor would be around 50 crore rupees, which is a one quarter billing, which is normally in our kind of business.
Okay. So just one more clarification. When I look at cash flow, there is an intercompany deposit given and repaid.
Yeah.
Is this part like this REFCO is what you are mentioning is part of the debtors? So is the second is pertaining to which entity?
So REFCO is a subsidiary of the Inox Wind Limited. As we have explained, there is some limits which is set up, you know, Green Energy Services Limited. And when we have carved out our EPC business to REFCO, the limit has not been shifted immediately. So there is a certain LC which has been opened in Inox Green Energy Services Limited, which is back-to-back billed to REFCO. Now it has everything has been stopped. As you have seen that, and as in our commentary also, in this particular quarter, there is only minuscule sale of around 7 crore rupees which has been happened and which will not happen in quarter one also in upcoming quarter. So accordingly, you know, this intercompany transaction which you will see will not going to come in from the upcoming quarters.
So Giriraj, let me put it like this, whatever shiftovers we had to do post the IPO, we've already concluded that. We have no further trading revenues coming in. Now, naturally, the payments which have already been done by Inox Green on behalf of Resco when the shift over took place and the LCs were opened here has to be recovered back from Resco, which we intend to recover over H1, and so that there is no interlinkage between these entities.
No, I agree, understood. Just clarifying that this Resco entity is shown in the trade receivables, and there is a kind of cash flow item, there is an intercompany deposit given, intercompany deposit received back. Is this pertaining to different entity or the same entity?
So that is towards the Inox Wind entity, which is a holding company. So as on 31st December, December number, or as on the 1st April 2022, there is some ICD which has been taken from the Inox Wind Limited, which has been settled in this particular financial year.
Okay. Sure. Thank you.
I mean, these are all pre-IPO transactions which are being squared off, given that Inox Green is a plain vanilla, separately listed entity now.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and 1 if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Amit Mehendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, what is the total revenue pool or market size for O&M business in India?
Just a broad macro level question.
You know, there's 42 gigawatts of installed capacity in India. So obviously in terms of 42 gigawatts, someone needs to serve with 42 gigawatts. Assuming a thumb rule of 8 lakh rupees or 10 lakh rupees per megawatt, that would translate to almost 3,500 crores of service revenue per annum for the entire macro industry.
Right, and we are generating like 200 crores out of that, so we are about 5% market share broadly.
Well, it's not a question of market share because as you see, 10 gigawatt belongs to players who've gone bust. So those players don't exist. We are the, if you look at our investor presentation,
yes,
the largest player in India, So yes, from a market share historically perspective, obviously Inox Green and Inox Wind at that point in time did not exist from the 1980s. We are a young company which is about 13 years old. But from an, on a incremental base from the time since we were born, I would say our market share is close to 17 to 18%. But yes, on the historical base, at about 3 gigs versus 40, we would be close to about 7.5%.
Got it, sir. And just to follow up on that, you know, we started tracking the company recently and we were just kind of, you know, can you explain to us a little bit, you know, some background on why do we have so many inactive players and what exactly, you know, went wrong, you know, with these players, like almost 10 gigawatts of what is a huge capacity.
So this goes back to the fact that the wind sector until 2017 was an absolutely normal running strong industry. And this was driven by something called feed-in tariffs, where respective state governments announced tariffs which were preferential tariffs, say 5 rupees. Now as renewables started becoming mainstream globally, and in India we wanted to set up much larger renewable energy targets, we shifted to an auction regime, which became a reverse auction regime. And in that the tariffs which were discovered crashed to almost 3.4. Once that happened, in the first auction, all the states simply reneged from their policies. And the sector shut down in India. So a sector which was booming, which was doing phenomenally well for the past 5.5 years, 5 odd years, has been virtually dead, where we've been adding, if I may say so, Marpitke, 1 gigawatt per annum. And that was nothing but clearance of inventory across almost 30 players in the industry. Yes, 5 out of the 30, 35 players were 85% of the market. But what's happened is almost out of the 35 odd players, almost 25 to 30 players have gone bust, bankrupt. So those who've gone bust and bankrupt, all those turbines which exist on the ground, since the OEM has gone bankrupt, he's no longer alive to do the operations and maintenance of those turbines. And you've seen a lot of unorganized players, if I may say so, Kirana, mom and pop type people who come into the industry, someone doing 20 megawatts, someone doing 50 megawatts, someone doing 100 megawatts. And I think this is a great opportunity for a strong Indian company to go out and consolidate that whole industry. And as Mathu may have read out in his initial commentary, I think we're evaluating multiple acquisition opportunities to scale up this business and make this an organized play. So that's why you see almost 10 gigawatts of inactive debt bankrupt players who are being serviced by the unorganized market.
Great, that's very helpful, thanks. Just to follow up on that, so how are these, you know, because some of them have gone bust, so how are they currently getting served, like their O&M needs? Are they in a free 2-year period, so currently they are not in the market, or how is the that requirement, customer demand getting met currently?
Yeah, those OEMs have gone bust, so nobody's in a free period. I mean, nobody died in the past 2 years. The sector's been dead for the past 5 years. It's now come back very, very strongly. So no one is in a free O&M period. Basically, they're getting it serviced through mom and pop, unorganized players, as I mentioned. And they're all paying them.
Okay.
Mom and pop, unorganized players, neither have the technical prowess nor the financial muscle to provide the best service.
Right.
I think that's where organized players such as us are moving in and capturing market share. As Madhu also explained, we've already acquired our first company, iFox, with about 230 megawatts. And I think as we move forward, they should be announcing many more acquisitions.
Great. I have one last question, if I may. Some of these acquisitions that we are doing, broadly, what is the EBITDA multiple that we are looking to buy this company? Any broad range will also do.
Unfortunately,
I understand.
To competitive reasons and to not destabilize our business plans, I'm unfortunately unable to share that number with you. But they're at a very, very competitive level.
Got it. Okay. Thanks a lot for this. And all the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We have the next question from the line of Ravi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you just help me in understanding what would be the ballpark cost per megawatt right now? I mean, since we have the increase in raw materials and all those things, right? What would be the ballpark cost per megawatt now?
So actually, this we are operating more than 50% EBITDA margin, and yeah, that's.
I think with the efficiencies and the renegotiations and scale, we should be able to improve it only further as we move forward.
Yeah. And moreover, as I mentioned in my earlier comment, that we have deployed a lot of digital transformation activities, which will further improve our EBITDA margin to maximize as possible.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hrishikesh Oza from RoboCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. So not wrong, the interest and the payment of is like spread over some number of years. So you can like.
Sorry to interrupt, but there's a.
Hrishikesh, your voice is cracking. Hrishikesh, there's no clarity. Your voice is cracking.
Is it better now?
No.
Is it better?
Sir, this is much better, yes.
Okay. So my question was that, if I'm not wrong, the acquisitions that we are doing, the payment of that is like spread over some number of years. So can you like, you know, like in general, what number of years are we spreading the payment to like?
So I think, Madhu, broadly what we're doing is whatever we are acquiring, I mean, this may be a generalized norm because obviously it goes case to case, but I think we've acquired one company so far, but I think what our guiding principle broadly is to pay half the acquisition cost in terms of cash and half the acquisition cost in terms of equity shares so that people are linked to the growth and success of Inox Green. And this is typically spread over 3 years.
Okay. Okay, got it. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Participants, you may press star one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Shah for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
On behalf of Systematix, I would like to thank Mr. Devansh Jain for giving us the opportunity to host the earnings call. Trust me, sir, we all learned a lot on Inox Green and your sector today. Thanks a lot once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.